the Lord tonight for that river of peace. Just the songs tonight were just registering in my soul. It's not a made-up river. It's not an imaginative river. It's not a fairy tale river. You know, sometimes you can write stories, you can create whatever you want. But this river of peace is, it's a real river. It's
won't ever dry up.
It won't ever dry up. It's not a trickle. It's not just a little creek that we all just have a little tiny spot where we can all maybe just dab our toe into. This is a overflowing river that the Lord asks us to plunge into. And when we get in the presence of God and experience that river of peace, which happens when we get in the presence of Jesus Christ Himself, there is no other experience like it. None. Young people, I want to tell you tonight, if you haven't experienced a river of peace, if the world is, and older folks tonight too, not just for the younger folks. It's just, I remember when I was a young person, it seemed like you looked out and there was so much to be offered. So much potentially to miss out on if you're not careful. That's how it can seem. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you will give your whole self to this way of life, don't cut any corners, don't try to split hairs, don't try to see how close to the edge you can get and still be saved and still enjoy everything you possibly can enjoy to the flesh, but still be able to sort of technically kind of be saved. Get where the river is. Give yourself to it. Be all in. Don't be part way in. Be all the way in. That's where Jesus Christ is. Jesus' presence can be found when we give ourselves completely, wholly to Him, turn away from whatever else is being offered, and follow after Jesus Christ with all of your heart. There will be times where the Lord comes along as Ebenezer stones, and times when you need it more than anything else in life, sometimes when you're not even asking for it. And He will visit you with His presence like He's never visited you before. When I look back, just bear with me for a couple minutes here. When I look back at my life, and I remember the times where God met me in ways that He's never met me before. Often it was times when I wasn't just asking Him, Lord, would You please visit me like You've never visited me before? And I think those prayers are fine. We can ask God to visit us like He's never visited us before. I remember when I was a little boy, I had been at camp meeting and they were preaching, pray till the answer comes. You just keep praying till the answer comes. Don't give up until the answer comes, however long it takes. So I went home that night from camp meeting. I was very young. And I got down beside my bed and I said, Lord, I'm going to pray here all night long if that's what it takes until the answer comes. I want to know that You hear my prayer and that You're there and that You're with me. And I'm going to stay right here as long as it takes till I pray till the answer comes. And I thought, well, what am I going to pray for? Well, Lord, make a noise happen so that I know You're out there. And it was dark, it was late, and I was praying away. We lived in a little neighborhood. We weren't downtown. And I was, Lord, send me a noise. And all of a sudden, this loud siren happened. And that was it. It stopped. And I had about the hairs on the back of my neck trying to stand up. I prayed till the answer came and I got in bed, and I knew, and I never forgot it. It always stays with me to this day, I believe. God answered my prayer. He heard my prayer. He answered my prayer. And He came and He visited me with a noise like a little boy can relate to. But most of the times in my life, it was when I was seeking the Lord, not asking for anything special. Times of trial. And I remember one time God came down in the car with me. I was by myself. and visited me in such a way. His presence came down in an unexpected way. And I felt like somebody was sitting next to me. You know when you feel somebody's presence, the presence of the Lord was in that car. He was with me. Never forgot it. It was the river of peace. I was in a time of trouble. And the Lord didn't change the trouble. But what He changed was my perspective. He let me know, I'm with you. I hear your prayers. I am a real God. And I want to say to you tonight, be all in. Don't be partway in. Give yourself to God. Commit your life to Him. And He will do His part. He will visit us. He will visit you. He will walk with you through life. He'll go through the valleys with you. And one of these days, we are going to be able to cross over onto the other side. And there is not a person that have given themselves to Jesus Christ in full measure, self-denial, sacrifice included, will not be a person who says, you know, I wish that I would have done a little more for myself. It looks like maybe I wouldn't have had to have tried to follow so close. To a person, we're going to be glad. So glad that we did everything we could to follow Jesus. We are able to see Him face to face. I don't know what Jesus is going to look like, but I know this. When I see Him, I'm going to know Him. And He's going to know me. And we will have a relationship in this life. I will have been in the river. And I want to see what that river looks like in physical form, however that is, face to face. I'm looking forward to it. And it will be worth it all. So whatever hardships you're facing tonight, whatever you're going through, whatever you will go through, do not lose faith in Jesus Christ. This time is but a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it's going to vanish away. And this old earth is going to be dissolved. Yes, we have hopes, we have dreams, that's fine. We do things that we enjoy, that's okay. God created the earth for us to enjoy things on the earth, but never forget, this life is but a vapor that appears for a little time, and it is but a speck in the realm of eternity. And when we get there, none of this is going to matter anymore. Stay true. Keep the faith. Have hope. Don't let down your hope in Jesus Christ. Look for the river. Experience the river. And Jesus Christ will be faithful. I'm thankful tonight. Thankful tonight for the reality of Jesus Christ in the river of peace. Who has Thanksgiving tonight? So thankful for Jesus and what He does for us in personal ways. Does anyone have any special Thanksgiving you'd like to make known this evening?
Somebody have a song in their heart, a special song you'd like to sing for us tonight?
I have another song that's called A Child of the King. Think about the one Brother Rod led this morning. She was looking for it, but come across this one. Y'all join me on this. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in His hand. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them, but now
King. I once was an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth, but I've been adopted, my name's written down, and heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. A tin or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, all glory to God, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King.
I'd like to turn this evening to the third chapter of 1 Samuel and the 10th, maybe we'll paraphrase a little bit tonight. We'll start at the first verse, but maybe we won't read it all verbatim. I'm thinking tonight about the subject of listening. This story in 1 Samuel, the third chapter, is one that we've probably all heard since childhood. The story goes that Samuel, who was a child at the time that was serving in the temple with Eli, said that it came to pass that when Eli laid down to go to bed that night, sounded like he was tired, because it said his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And so as he was going to sleep, the Lord called Samuel in the fourth verse, but he didn't know it was the Lord. He just heard the call, and he said, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli, thinking that it was Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you, go back to bed." So he went back to bed, and here it came again, Samuel. So he got back up out of bed and ran back to Eli and said, "You called me, here I am." And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you, you go back to bed." So he went back to bed, and the third time, Samuel. So Samuel got up, ran back into Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Well, this time, the third time, the Lord helped Eli to know. Eli perceived that it was the Lord that was calling Samuel. And so he told him, he said in the ninth verse, "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now, I don't know this. This is just my thinking. I'm having an idea that when Eli told him, "This is God talking to you, and when he says your name next, then you respond and say, Here am I. Do you think he was tired when he went back to bed that time? Now, I don't know if he was. I wouldn't have been. I probably would have had my eyes wide open. This is the Lord calling my name. And so it said that the Lord came and stood and called at as other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered and said, Speak, Lord, or speak, for thy servant heareth. And I'm struck tonight with Samuel's persistence and diligence in this story to hear and respond to the voice that he heard, even though he was tired and he was in bed. And that kind of hit me like it hasn't before. That even though he was in bed, it said his eyes, we read the verse where it says his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see him. And it sounds to me like he was about to go to sleep. And how often has it been when we're not in a place where we really want to hear, to be called out to change what it is we're doing, that we're ready and quick to respond to a voice that calls us away from where we are? And in fact, sometimes in life, the Lord will speak to us and nudge us and say, Rod, that's probably not something that you want to do. You need to withdraw. And sometimes it can be a still, small voice. But if it's not something we want to withdraw from, if we want to continue to stay in that space because it's comfortable, sometimes we can tell ourselves, well, I don't think that was God. That was probably just myself. I was just probably talking to myself. I don't know what that voice was. And then we just keep headlong going into whatever direction it was that we wanted to go in the first place. But Samuel didn't do this. He was attentive to the voice that he heard, and each time he got out of bed and he went to try to find out what this was all about. And finally he recognized the voice of the Lord. After a while, he learned to understand, that's not Eli, that's the Lord speaking to me. And in the end, declared, I believe from the heart, speak, thy servant heareth. So tonight I'm thinking about the subject of the importance of us listening. Truly listening and responding when we hear things that we need to respond to. And I thought maybe we could start, we'll maybe move through this fairly quickly tonight. What does listening mean to you? Let's at least get a definition of listening so that we can all kind of be going from the same place tonight. What does listening mean?
I think of paying attention to what you hear.
Okay, pay attention.
Not just hearing, but paying close attention to it.
To what you hear. All right, what else? Listen for sound. And I'm using the word listen. I know that's not what we're supposed to do when we're defining listen. But being attentive for sound.
It's an action.
Pardon?
It's an action.
Okay, it's an action. There we go. It's an action word. Okay, so when you're listening, there's some quietness that's involved. Okay? Being quiet. Good.
Determine where it's coming from.
Okay? Understanding source.
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything else come to your mind?
I've read one that said, be alert and ready to hear something. Be alert and ready to hear something. So we have pay attention to what you hear, attentive or listening for sound. It's an action word. It's not passive. It's something you intend to do. You're being deliberate about it.
Who it's coming from.
Okay, so again, you're speaking again to the source, understanding the source of where it's coming from. Being quiet means that if we're being quiet to listen, that means we ourselves are having to set aside what it is that we might could say so that we can hear a sound, a noise, a word coming from somewhere else. Being alert and ready to hear something. So listening is also anticipating that if you're not quiet, if you're not paying attention, that something might be said that gets past you. And so being alert and ready to hear what it is that's going to be said. Have you ever been talking to somebody, and a lot of times this happens before you get done talking, you realize that they're not listening to you. That's an interesting feeling. You're just talking away, and all of a sudden you realize I'm not being listened to. They're paying attention to something else. I've been in situations where somebody actually asks a question and you think they want an answer to the question because they ask a question. So you automatically believe that if they ask the question, they wanted to hear what your answer was. And so you start to give an answer, and partway through your answer, you realize they're not interested in hearing my answer. I worked with somebody years ago who said that he wanted you to answer his questions. And he would ask questions to a group, but it became clear pretty quickly that he was way more interested in talking than he was hearing what you had to say. None of those things involve listening. Learning how to really listen and internalize what is being said around you is critical if we want to learn and make better decisions. I've found for myself, I've never learned very much when I'm talking. Do you learn much when you're talking for yourself? I mean, usually most of the time when you talk, hopefully, not always, hopefully, you're speaking things that you've already thought about. And it reflects beliefs that you already have. Now sometimes people just talk and they really haven't thought about what it is they're saying. Sometimes you can learn about yourself then. But a lot of times, you're just conveying what you already thought, and you don't learn a whole lot. I don't learn when I'm talking. So, if I want to learn, I'm going to have to learn how to listen so that I can pick up those things that other people have to offer me. I also find that we reduce the number of mistakes we make in life the more that we listen. The more we listen, the more we learn, and the fewer mistakes that we make. But part of listening is being willing to set aside what you think, set aside what you're standing on,
Talked about Moses not very long ago, standing, had his sandals strapped on. The Lord said, you need to take those off. You need to set those to the side because now I've got something to say to you. But I can't say what I want to say to you until you set aside what it is that you have strapped onto your feet. And it's not easy for everyone. Sometimes it's not easy for any of us in certain situations to be willing to take what we so firmly think is truth and right. And I'm not just talking right now, I'm just talking in general. I'm not necessarily talking about the gospel at the moment. But just whatever it is that's going through our minds that we feel is important, to truly listen, you have to be willing to set it aside and give space and give opportunity. And sometimes people find it hard to do that. Did you know that silence is okay too, sometimes? It's okay for there to be silence sometimes. Some people are more uncomfortable with silence than others. Some people are really uncomfortable with silence. And if there starts to become silence, no noise, and there's people in the room, sometimes people start almost getting nervous. They have to say something to fill the silence. But listening involves being quiet. And you know that sometimes when we allow silence to take place, extended periods of no noise, sometimes it opens up the opportunity to hear something that you otherwise would never have heard. Sometimes there are people that have a hard time just jumping in the middle of conversations. And so they never have an opportunity to say what's on their heart and their mind because others of us can be more quick to fill the space, fill the silence. And then sometimes we wonder, why doesn't anybody have anything to say? Well, sometimes we don't give opportunity for that. And other times, we just need to be quiet and have silence so that whatever the situation is that we are around, it has an opportunity to teach us something that can only be taught in periods of silence. Listening involves more than just being quiet too. Truly listening involves hearing both the spoken and the unspoken. Listening, true listening, involves hearing both the spoken and the unspoken. And I didn't look up before I came to service tonight exactly what those in the know, the exact percentages, but it is a very high percentage of body language that conveys, and tone of voice is the majority of the messages that get conveyed rather than the words themselves. Sometimes we say, well, yeah, I heard what he said. He said X, Y, and Z, and so that's what I'm going to go do. It's like, that isn't what he was trying to say at all. You totally, completely missed what he was trying to convey. Because listening involves more than just words. It's tone, it's body language, and do we take the time to listen? Sometimes we can be so consumed with ourselves, we can be so consumed with our ideas that, and what we believe is right, that we don't give opportunity for truth to be conveyed to us. Our spiritual and our relational growth is stunted when we don't learn how to listen. Spiritual and relational growth is stunted when we don't learn how to listen. Every man is right in his own eyes. Doesn't the Scripture say that? But not everybody can be right. Often we think we're right. Every man's right in his own eyes. We all think pretty highly of our opinions, but not everybody can be right. And so it's really difficult to learn what is right if we don't set aside what we think to listen and to grow. So now for part two, and most importantly, one of the most precious things that we can experience is to listen for the voice of God and then hear it. One of the most precious things in life. It's when we learn how to do these things with God in mind, and we're listening, and then we hear the voice of God. And I think tonight that if we don't learn how to listen to others, how can we be good listeners and hear what God has to say? A lot of times it goes hand in hand. People that don't ever listen to other people, probably the thing that causes them to not be good listeners can spill over into their ability to hear the voice of God. Neither Eli or God told Samuel. They didn't say, Samuel, now when you go to bed tonight, at such and such a time, you're going to hear your name called. Now be ready for it and respond. Neither one of them did that. Samuel had to be humble, alert, ready to hear, and ready to respond. He went to bed. He was tired. Went to sleep, and yet he was of a mind and a heart that when the sound came, when the voice of God came, he was up to go investigate what it was until he understood the voice of God. He didn't brush it off. And I just want to encourage all of us tonight, don't, when you hear a voice in your heart, in your mind, when you feel a prompting, when you feel some conviction on something, don't discount or ignore it. Listen to it. Listen for the still small voice. Explore it. Try to understand, as was brought out, what is the source? Is this God? Is it myself? Is the Lord trying to say something to me? God speaks to us on His timing and in His way, not on ours. So if we want to hear from the voice of God, we're going to have to live our lives each day with a spirit and a way of life where we give space for God to speak to us in a way that we can hear it and respond to it. If we get so carried away with all of the things that we're interested in life, and we fill up our plate, and the radio's always on, and the earbuds are always in, and the phone's always in front of our face and our eyes, and we're online constantly, or we always have our hands in all of the temporal things that interest us from morning until night, and we close our ears and our minds and our heart from everything except what we've decided to focus on, we can miss the most important voice that we ever could possibly hear. The voice of God. And the Lord has things He wants to talk to us about. He has answers for us that we ourselves would like to have answered. But if we don't give space, if we don't learn how to listen, if we don't learn how to set aside our own agenda, then the Lord is going to have a much harder time getting to us. Plant yourself by the rivers of water of Jesus Christ. Plant yourself in places where you create space for the Lord to speak to your heart. And then when you go out into the day and into the workplace or at school or whatever it is you're doing, may God help us to live our lives in such a way that we always have one ear open to that knock. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." But then he said, "If any man hear my voice." And by saying that, it almost sounds like there are times the Lord's saying, "I'm knocking," but that doesn't mean that the person inside hears. He said, "If I'll knock, I'm going to be knocking. And if the person inside hears my voice," and then responds with action, because he was actively listening. "Hey, I heard something. That might be God. That might be Jesus. That might be the Holy Spirit trying to say something to me." Don't wait until you get to the end of the page. Don't wait until you get done with whatever it is you're trying to make. Be like Samuel. Respond to the voice that you hear. Ask the Lord, "Lord, please come in." Give Him your full attention. Always keep an open ear. "Lord, please speak to my heart and help me to have an open ear to hear what it is that you have to say." You know, sometimes you can call out to people and you don't get any response, and finally you get a response and their response is, "Well, I didn't hear you those other three times." And sometimes it's not that you were that you just weren't speaking loud enough. Sometimes they weren't listening for your voice. You see the difference? The Lord speaks to us in different ways. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His Spirit, through a still small voice. He speaks to us through ministers and teachers and parents. The Lord speaks to us through situations in life. He speaks to us through circumstances of life. And the Lord wants us to be living in such a way that we are listening for His voice. It may not always be there, but when it does come, He finds us listening. So tonight, if you want to increase knowledge, if you want to learn, if you want to make more friends, if you want to increase the depth of your relationships with other people, if you want to be a greater help to other people, learn how to listen better. And most of all, tonight, may God help us to keep an open ear so that when God speaks to us, we have learned how to listen for His voice and recognize it. And when we hear it, that we too, as Samuel, with obedience, with eagerness, with our hearts, say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." May God help us all tonight with this subject. Amen.